Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. We'll read the whole chapter. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, "What do these stones mean?" tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. Now the priests who carried the ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. The people hurried over, and as soon as all of them had crossed the ark of the Lord, and the priests came to the other side while the people watched, the men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over, ready for battle in front of the Israelites, as Moses had directed them. About 40,000 armed for battle crossed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho for war. That day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him all the days of his life, just as they had stood in awe of Moses. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Command the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant law to come up out of the Jordan." So Joshua commanded the priests come up out of the Jordan, and the priests came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their foot on dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. On the tenth day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God." Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. We just pray for your presence to come. God, help us to pray and hear your word and to hear from you today. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this story is coming after the Exodus from Egypt, and Moses leads the people of Israel out of Egypt into the Promised Land. But before they get to the Promised Land, as you guys all probably know, Moses dies. He is of old age, and God says, "You will not be able to cross over to the Promised Land. You're going to raise up Joshua to be your servant to do this." So Joshua has become the new leader. Moses has passed away. Joshua is the leader, and he's leading the people into the Promised Land. And to get to the Promised Land, they have one big obstacle, and it's the Jordan River. And it tells us that it floods a lot. In the Bible, it says it's always flooding, and the waters are big, and there's no way for them to cross over. And God says to Joshua, "Hey, I'm going to honor you today like I honored Moses." And he says, "Command your priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant to stand in the middle of the Jordan River, and you're going to see an amazing thing happen." So Joshua commands the priests to do that with the Ark of the Covenant, And if you're not familiar with the story, as when they go to, as they go to the middle of the river, the water stops flowing. You know, it's just like the Red Sea. The water that's kind of in front of them keep going, and the water behind them stop coming, so that there is dry ground that appears, and all of Israel can cross over to the other side of the Jordan, and the priests are still standing, and here the Lord tells Joshua, "Hey, I want you to go take 12 people, because there's 12 tribes in the people of Israel, and I want you to go and take up 12 stones, one stone per tribe, and to bring it back to this side of the Jordan." And then when you've done that, then you can tell the priests to come back to the other side. And when the priests come back, it says immediately when they reach the plains, the water is returned. And I just want to talk briefly about these stones. You know, I think when you do your Experiencing God class, EG class, you talk about this, these milestones in your faith, you know. And these stones that you can look back to an experience that you've had with God, an encounter that you've had with God, that you can look back to, and it kind of helps you in your faith, in your journey as you walk with God. And so these stones that the Lord commands Joshua to command the people to take, they are to serve. They are to serve a few purposes. I just want to talk about three of them. And the first one is they're stones of remembrance, you know, stones of remembrance. So often we will go through life and amazing things will happen, right? God will answer our prayers. God will come through for us in a tight situation, and he will just meet us in a powerful way. But so easy for us to forget about what God has done. When P. Eugene preached on Sunday, he said, you know, he talked about the prayer in Proverbs. Don't give me too much. Don't give me too little. Because if I have too much, I'm afraid that I'm just going to forget about you. You know, when life gets comfortable and we're not seeking after God, we're not desperate after God, and we are in a comfortable situation, it's easy for us to forget what God has done. And it'll be a good idea for us to set up these stones. And I don't mean literal stones, but find out a way for you to remember these things. Maybe you can journal it. You know, I'm not a very good journaler. I used to think that every Christian needs to journal. So I used to try and journal and write down my thoughts. But I just, a few years ago at a conference, a speaker freed me and said, you don't have to journal. Every Christian does not have to journal. So I said, great. And I haven't journaled since. I have a journal, but I haven't written down very many things since. But a good way for me is I just have an email account. It's called Nate's. Don't email anything to this account, but it's called natesletterstogod@gmail.com. And it's my journal email where I email things to myself, but it's my journal to God. And it's easier for me to do that. But just figure out a way for you to set up these stones in your life where you can remember. You know, you can remind yourself, this is what God did for me on this and this day, and it'll strengthen us. You know, when we're going through a difficult time again, we look back and go, no, God is faithful. He was faithful to me then, he's going to be faithful to me now. And another aspect of remembrance is for the next generation. Right? We learned that when we were away in the States for our staff retreat, we learned about family ministry and how important it is for spiritual formation to take place, not just in the church, but in the families, you know, because a child spends much more time with their parents than they do at church or, you know, with Sunday school. And that's exactly what the Lord says. He says, hey, you're going to go to the other side, and one day your descendants are going to ask you, hey, what are these 12 big stones about? And that's an opportunity for you to tell them, this is what the Lord has done in our people. This is what the Lord has done in me, your parents' life. And so you need to know that God is good. And this is true for my life. You know, my father is a missionary. He's a pastor / missionary. And I grew up in that kind of setting. And I don't know how many of you grew up as a Christian, but if you have grown up in a Christian family, and if you are like me and you never rebelled against God, you never really turned away, and you never had a time of, you know, just rebellion against God, Sometimes you think, oh, my testimony sucks. You know, my testimony is so boring. Like, basically, my testimony is I grew up in a Christian home. That's it, you know? And through that, I learned to meet God and found out that God is real and just Jesus Christ became real in my life. But there's no, you know, I was into drugs and I came back, or, you know, I was into this or that and God just met me powerfully and I came back. And I used to think that, but God began to show me that I don't need that kind of testimony because my dad has a testimony like that. And it's not like God is not at work in my life, but it's even better than that, because God was at work in my dad's life to save him from his, you know, troubled ways, so that I could inherit a faith that is, I mean, it's hard to explain, but in a way that's even cooler that God would do that a generation or generation before me, because he knew that I was going to come, right? So a generation before me, he did amazing work in my dad's life so that that faith would be inherited down to me. And my dad, you know, he used to go to church, stopped going to church. Oh, no, he kept going to church out of guilt. He felt like God would punish him if he didn't go to church. So he kept going to church, but his life didn't show it. You know, he was a heavy drinker, heavy smoker, and just doing some things that he shouldn't be doing. And in 1984, when I was 2 years old, he went to a Korean prayer mountain. Because God blessed him with a wife who was a devout Christian, my mom. And through that, he basically got dragged along to go to this prayer mountain because my mom's dad, so my dad's father-in-law is a pastor, still is a pastor. So the whole family was going to this prayer mountain, so he goes to the prayer mountain, and he's just there. You know, he's been there many times. He's just there again just to kind of, you know, just to please the father-in-law. And he's told me this story many times, you know, of how he was at the back of the church, and just the presence of God came into his life right there at that moment. I mean, for some reason, he was there many times before, but nothing had happened. But on that day, God showed up, and he says, I mean, you've heard these stories. Right? He said in his mind, he could see flashes of all the different things that he had done that had hurt God. And he began to cry in repentance, and he began to realize what a sinner he was. But at the same time, he felt and received the love of God and the forgiveness of God and the grace of God. And that day totally changed my dad. I mean, he's a unique personality. But since that day, like, he would go back to work, and he would, he would drive to work, right? And he would... after work, he would stand outside the company, the company building, and he would just say, hey, free rides to wherever you need to go. Like, my dad would say, I'm going to such and such place. If you're on the way, free ride. And he would just do that so that he could get people into his car so he could share them the gospel, you know. And he would go to the trains in Korea, stand up there and preach the gospel. So that day totally changed his life. But see, that story is like a stone for my dad. And that's been carried over to me. And I could look back at that story and go, wow, God is real. Like, God really met my father in a powerful way. And, you know, it's like this, the 12 stones that Joshua set up to serve as a remembrance. And that's happened to me. You know, that legacy has been carried over to me. And another purpose of the stone is a stone of worship. You know, at the end of the verse it says, he did this so that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. So that you might always fear the Lord your God. And the word fear, sometimes in certain places in the Bible, is translated as worship, you know. And these stones that we set up in our lives to remember what God has done, it serves us a purpose in worshiping God. You know, we look back and we go, wow, God, you did this, and I worship you, and I fear you, and I trust you. And the third thing is a stone of testimony. It says, you know, last verse again, he did this so that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. That all the people of the earth, people would look at the 12 stones and they would ask you, what's going on? And you will explain to them what the Lord has done. And it will serve a purpose to tell everyone, all the people of the earth, that they may know that the hand of the Lord, hand of Yahweh, is powerful. You know, and these stones that we set up, you know, these experiences that we have with God and that we can record or record and remember, it will serve a purpose to in sharing our testimony. You know, when you do your Growing in Christ class, in our last chapter on witnessing, it says, go home and tell your family. Go home and tell your family. Is that right? Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how the Lord has had mercy on you. How much the Lord has done for you. It's a personal testimony. You know, when you're witnessing to people, it's hard to win them over through argument. But if you can just share with them a testimony of how God has met you in your life, they can't, you know, deny that or disprove that, you know. So I just want to encourage us this morning to think about what are these stones, what are these milestones in my life, in my faith, that God has done in my life to serve in these purposes, to remember, to worship God, to serve as a testimony to other people. So Mon's going to come up and lead us in a time of worship. So let's just meditate upon the Lord and... this story in Joshua where you have revealed to the people a method of remembering what you have done in their lives and serving as a testimony to the people around them, God, and also leaving a legacy to the children and as a reminder for us to worship you. I pray, God, that you will speak to us, Holy Spirit, this morning and show us, God, what are these milestones in our own faith journey, and would you help us to bring them to remembrance and help us to figure out a way to keep them in a journal or something so that we can always have them with us, so that we can look back at them and not forget so easily, God, how you have moved in our lives. So just come, Holy Spirit. We ask you to come and speak to us, and we thank you for this time. Thank you. Let's go to our group prayer focus. Let's lift up our community. Let's first pray for those in our church family members that are sick with cancer and different, they're going through chemo or they're going through surgery. Let's just lift up these members of our body. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for God to really intervene in their lives. Let's lift them up together. Let's go to the second slide. Let's pray for those of our family members, church family members that are sick, but also they need the salvation of God. Let's pray that God would open their eyes, and that he would reveal himself to these men and women that's on the list. Let's also pray for others that are just going through different infirmities. Let's pray for God's healing. Pray for God to move in their lives. Let's go to the third slide. Let's pray for our church members that are looking for a job. Let's pray that God would move in their lives. Let's pray that God would encourage them, that they won't be discouraged, that they'll be able to keep going and keep looking. And let's just pray that God would give them breakthrough in this job search for them. Let's go to our Wednesday prayer focus. For our mission focus, let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Pastor Oh, who is doing ministry there. Let's pray for New Life Church and Pastor Tang, who is the senior pastor of New Life Church, which is one of the biggest churches in Phnom Penh. Let's also pray for the Center of Peace Orphanage and Bhopal. She's the leader in charge of that orphanage. And let's pray for Grace Chung and Bloom, who is there doing mission work with girls that have been rescued from the sex trade. So let's lift her up. Let's also pray for the Philippines and Bhutan. Let's pray that God would move in those countries as well. So let's pray together. Let's pray for the SP Ministries. Let's pray for IP team and Matt, who is the leader for the IP team. Let's pray for Cascade. Let's pray for Leanne and Rachel as they head up this ministry, Cascade. Let's pray for The Well, our physical healing ministry. Let's pray for Larry, who is heading up this ministry. And let's also pray for the local outreach and Pastor Sophia, who is in charge of this ministry. Let's pray that God would really bless her and give her great ideas for local outreach. And let's cover the four ministries up there. Thank you. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight. Let's pray for Causeway Bay, Mick Robinson, Tregunter, Tai Wai House Church, and Kennedy House Church. Let's pray that God would bless each of these gatherings, and that ministry will really happen in this place. This community will really happen in our gatherings. So let's pray for our house churches. Father God, we thank you for this Wednesday morning. We could come before you and pray to you and read your word and hear your word. And we want to worship you today, God. I pray, Lord, that you would bless each and every person here as they go to their work, as they go off to whatever they have, God, for the rest of the day. I pray, God, that your peace will be upon them, your presence will go with them, God, and that they'll be able to have your favor in all that they do, God, and that we will all be able to glorify you with all that we do today, God. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. We love you and we worship you this morning, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today, and we'll see you tomorrow.